Alrighty. If you would, this morning, open your Bibles to 3 John. 3 John. We see in the book of Revelation where John writes to seven is told to write to the seven churches. You wonder if maybe this letter is written to Gaius, who, or Gaius, however you want to say his name. Gaius, I'm calling Gaius, written to, maybe he was in one of those seven churches in the book of Revelation. Anyways, this letter of 3 John is written to this man Gaius. And growing up, I'm saying, Mommy, how come so-and-so does this? How come so-and-so does that? Huh, Mommy, why? And what does Mom say? Hey, it takes all kinds. How many have heard that? It just takes all kinds. And so that's what we're here this morning. It takes all kinds. There's all kinds of individuals in churches today, all kinds of individuals everywhere. And so it takes all kinds because there are all kinds, and we're going to look at different kinds. In fact, the Bible talks about in the Old Testament about the Israelites when they left the land of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. There were all kinds. They had 12 tribes, and plus they had the mixed multitude. The mixed multitude may have been people from other nations that were in the land of Goshen at the time, or intermarried, or somehow or another associated with the Israelites, left with them. But nonetheless, the Bible describes the mixed multitude as discontent and murmuring. Discontent and murmuring. In the New Testament, Paul preached on the Mars Hill, and after he preached a wonderful message about the salvation of Jesus Christ, about the unknown God he's making known unto them, it took all kinds because some mocked. Some said they'd hear of this matter again, and yet some others believed. Here at Liberty Baptist Church, none of us are the same. Every one of us has different family traditions. We operate differently. We're on different frequencies, different levels of appropriateness, different idiosyncrasies, different baggage that come along with our family. We got different issues and different experiences, and we all have different hurts and things that affect our lives. None of us here today are the same. Hey, it takes all kinds. Each of us possesses a certain unique traits. And some certain not so unique traits. Some of us have a lot in common in different areas. All of us exhibit certain kinds of behaviors depending upon the situation, the circumstance. And this morning, and I think it's important that we'll evaluate where each of us are. The standard a behavior is Jesus Christ. But we're going to see different representation of behaviors which are made evident. There's 5 individuals in the book of 3 John. The 5 individuals in the book of 3 John. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for this letter. Dear God, help each of us have an open heart this morning to evaluate ourselves, prove ourselves, how we are this morning, who we are, what our behavior is, our character. Lord, give us the grace and the strength to strive to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. We fall short, Lord. But I pray that this message will help us. At least help us acknowledge that we're not what we should be. But only through Jesus Christ we can be what you want us to be. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. The first individual in the third book of John, or the third letter of John, is John himself. John here is an encourager. He writes in verse 1, he says, "The elder, unto the beloved Gaius, whom I have in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He expresses his love for Gaius. It appears that Gaius maybe was a convert of John's. He says here in verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." To prosper means to be succeed. Even as thy body, even it says here, even as thy soul prospereth, he wants his body, his wish is that Gaius' body be in the same shape, the same boat as his soul prospers or succeeds. You see, because all of us, our soul is diseased with sin before we trust Christ as Savior. Our soul can't determine really what's right and wrong. Our soul just sins because that's what it does. That's what we do. We're separated. We're born separated from God as little babies. The Bible says we're shapen in iniquity. We sin because we are born sinners. It comes natural. And so as Gaius was able to succeed because his soul succeeded by trusting Christ as Savior, John wishes him that his body, he wishes him health. When our bodies get sick, we get down. Many of us get self-centered when we're sick. Woe is me. We're tired, we stay in bed with pain, we're miserable, we're unhappy. Lori's cranky. I mean, some of us are cranky. No, we all get cranky. We feel doomed, we're desperate, in despair, and we don't want to be around others. And you know what? Sometimes it even hurts to smile. But with Jesus Christ, when our soul prospers, we wake up with a reason to live. We have a purpose in life. We are free from sin. We're with hope. We got a reason to get up in the morning. We feel like getting something done. And you know what? It's easy to smile when we've got Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's easy to smile when we have the hope that the world's searching for today. And John wishes his friend good health and prosperity here on earth, just like it is in his soul. John's also an encourager because he expresses his rejoicing. Look at verse 3, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." He expresses his rejoice. He's not ashamed to rejoice. He's not ashamed to be happy. A lot of times in society today, if we're happy or rejoicing or smiling, people think it's a sign of weakness. It's funny that, and I've mentioned it before, I think it was my junior, senior years when MTV first came out. And now it's not only a program, it's a culture. And even then, it was portrayed that if you snarl, the women just gravitate toward you. And now we got a bunch of snarlers today. The meaner you look, the cooler you are. There's no room for rejoicing. But the Bible says in Psalm chapter 109, verse 28, "Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." There's no shame in rejoicing. There's no crime in being happy. And John here is not ashamed to rejoice over Gaius in his life. There's no greater joy for John. John not only expresses his desires that Gaius succeed, but he expresses his rejoicing, but he expresses instruction in verse 11. Let's go all the way to verse 11. "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." He instructs Gaius to follow not that which is evil, because evil is contrary to God. follow that which is good. Here's the deal. We've already stated, and the Bible states, that we sin because we're sinners. It comes natural. Hey, if we're a child of God, and we've got the Lord Jesus Christ living in our heart, then it should be natural to serve Him. It should be, I know it's a theological term, natural, but I'm using here in just a generic term, it should be easy to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be easy to do good. Now, all of us struggle daily with the ability to do good because we still got this flesh. But the Bible says to do good. Follow that which is good. Evil's contrary to God. While we're looking at sin and sinners, the Bible says that he who hath the Son hath life. And that's life eternal, for eternity. He who hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, because we're sinners, and God is holy, and the Bible says He cannot even look at sin. His eyes are pure eyes, and He can even look at sin. And when Jesus Christ was on the cross, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God the Father forsook Jesus Christ. He turned away because the sin of the world was on His Son, and He could not even look at sin. If you die today with sin, you will not see Jesus, you will not see God, you will not see heaven. But the wrath of God abideth on you in a place called hell. That's why God loved you so much, He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for you so you wouldn't have to experience and see those things. There'll be an opportunity at the end of the service where someone can show you in the Bible how you can know that heaven is your home, how you can know that Jesus Christ will forgive you of your sins. It's by faith. It's not by coming to a Baptist church. It's not by being baptized or giving a lot of money to the offering. It is by faith. The Bible says to come to Jesus Christ by faith, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, and God freely wants to give you this gift of salvation, this gift of eternal life. John expresses instruction to follow not that which is evil, but do good. We see a second man besides John here, John the encourager. We see Gaius the faithful. In verse 3, we see something about Gaius. It says, "For I rejoice greatly," John says, "when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth." He's walking in truth, this man Gaius. And he's walking in truth enough that others see it. And others talk about it. He's not just a PTL kind of guy. He lives it. He obeys the word of God and living in obedience to God. Not only is he walking in truth, verse 3, but look at verse 5. "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." So, he's not only walking in truth, Gaius is, but he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care if it's brethren or strangers, Jews or Gentiles. He walks in truth, and he treats people decently no matter who they are. Now, this does not mean that we cannot make judgments of what's right and wrong, of what's appropriate and inappropriate. But what it means that we have the same respect for others. We have the same love for others, regardless who they are or where they've come from. Jesus Christ died for whosoever. Jesus Christ died for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And we should love people with the same love and not single out people and be a respecter of persons. The saddest thing I ever heard One of the saddest things I ever heard was when somebody, and it wasn't here in this church, but it said, well, we prefer a higher caliber of people in our church. That's so sad. You know what? If Jesus Christ desired a higher caliber of people in this church, you wouldn't have this pastor. We're all sinners. We all have the same need. We all hurt the same. We cry the same tears. We laugh the same laughter. No matter what our lot in life is, no matter if we're living on 6th Avenue or Snob Hill, we're all the same. Jesus Christ loves us all the same, and we ought not be a respecter of persons. Gaius is faithful. He's walking in truth. He's not a respecter of persons. And then he demonstrates charity. Look at verse 6. And this is the love that we walk after his commandments. Oh, I'm in 2 John. Verse 6 of 3 John. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. He demonstrates charity in verse 6. In verse 7 it says, because that for his name's sake, that's God's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. He was able to help and to give and to support and to provide for people traveling, sharing the gospel. And they didn't have to appear as a sponge. You follow what I mean? It says, and taking nothing of the Gentiles. These people were able to go out and preach the gospel and not look like freeloaders. Because of the charity, the generosity of Gaius. Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers in the truth. He demonstrates charity. We see that they had not had to go to the Gentiles. But verse 6 through 8 talks about sending people out. We should be the same as a church, and we do the same as a church. When we have missionaries stay here, they stay in the missionary's apartment. When the missionaries stay in the missionary's apartment, the apartment's cleaned, and every time they leave and ready for the next, Aaron Munson does that. When the missionaries stay in the missionary apartment, we shop for them and make sure they have food for X number of days. I mean, imagine showing up at midnight hungry and you open the fridge and all that's there is an old stale bowl of butter. So we shop for them. We make sure they have bread and lunch meat, peanut butter and jelly and cereal and milk and all that kind of good stuff. When the missionaries stay here, we take them to lunch after dinner, after church. We take them to dinner. We take care of them. Hello. Being hospitable to missionaries takes money. And, you know, we've had a lot of missionaries this last summer. And funds are low. I will be honest with you. The funds at Liberty Baptist Church are low. We need to be faithful in tithing. We need to be faithful in giving. But we're not going to shortchange our missionaries. We'll make sacrifices on different things before we shortchange the missionaries. We will continue as a church to be hospitable to those who God has called to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this man, Gaius, was very charitable. He was faithful in his giving. Oh, we got a third person here. Look at verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. This man, Diotrephes, loved the preeminence. He wanted to be number one. He's the guy that's in, when they snapped a picture, he's the one going like this. I'm number one. This man was prideful, just like Satan wanted to have preeminence over the Lord in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2. He said, thine heart, is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. We see in the Old Testament, Korah wanted to have preeminence over Moses. And finally, him and his household were swallowed up in the earth. This man, Diotrephes, wanted nothing to do with John and nothing to do with believers because they were perceived as a threat to Diotrephes. Verse 9, I wrote unto the church that Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not, wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and causeth them, and casteth them out of the church. Prating means ranting. Ranting and raving. So apparently when there were people that come to the church, Diotrephes started ranting and raving to those around him about this person and wouldn't let up and not content. It was an infectious behavior. He rant and raved till everybody was all stirred up with the gossip about this person, the slander about this person, whatever it might be. We got to ask ourselves, what was Diotrephes' objective? It says, to cast them out of the church. We have to be very careful, because if we rant and rave against each other, we have to ask, what is our objective? Do we want to see others leave the church out of embarrassment? Out of, hey, there's so much contention here, I'm not going to stay? What is our objective? Our objective is to love one another, maybe to point out faults. Hey, you know what? I don't know if you know, but you know, I'm praying for you. Help each other. It says over and over time in the book of Proverbs about how a wise man will accept criticism. But that's not criticism for the sake of being critical. That's actual positive criticism. What is our objective? Is our objective to have preeminence not only over the Lord but over one another? The Bible says we're supposed to lift up one another and count others higher than we are and be humble. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we don't have any faults. But what it means is that we shouldn't think we're any bigger than we think we are. We have another person here in verse 12. Demetrius. This is the fourth person. Demetrius is upstanding because he hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Demetrius was honest. He was respectable in the sight of all men. And it says it's of a truth. It cannot be denied that this man was respected. And John says we bear record. In other words, we're going to give credit where credit is due. We are not full of baloney. Demetrius does have a good report. He's got a good reputation. And the character of this man was universally, by all men, realized. Wow, this guy's a good guy. This guy's a godly man. This guy follows God. He walks with God. It was realized. He was respected. And then it was repeated by John here in this epistle. How many been to a Grizzlies football game? And the preliminary of the game, they got all the things flashing across there. And one of the things they got flashing is the 12th man. Right? The 12th man. How many seen the 12th man? The 12th man. And then you're supposed to roar and clap, and they flash on 12th man, 12th man. 11 men on the football team, the 12th man is the home fans that are going to scream and yell when the opposing team has the ball so they can't do their counts, they go off sides or whatever. The 12th man is to help the 11 men on their football team. It's an unrecognized a lot of time. It's not necessarily visible on the football field, but it's a force to contend with, especially when the Grizzlies are on the north end zone. And it gets really, really loud. And there's whistles blown and flags thrown because of the 12th man. We have a fifth man here in the book of 1 John. The word truth is mentioned six times in 3 John. In verse 11, God is mentioned. This fifth man is Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, John chapter 1, verse 3, and without him not anything was made. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. He is faithful and true. The fifth man here in 1 John is God Almighty, Jesus Christ. There's three men here with the character and reputation of that of Jesus Christ, John, Gaius, and Demetrius. They mirrored, they represented, and they portrayed, they depicted. Hello, they depicted our Savior, Jesus Christ. John was encouraging, Gaius was faithful, and Demetrius was an upstanding individual. Encouraging words of Christ include, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's one of the things that we've been, as Christians, have been sold a bill of goods. Hey, you get saved, and it's cherry all the way out. That ain't going to happen. In fact, just the opposite, Jesus promised. Here in this verse, he says, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He says we're going to have tribulation, but the way we respond, the way we react is in direct relationship to our to how we live and how we our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can be of good cheer because we know who reigns on high. We know how the story ends. It ends on different pages depending on what Bible we got, but we do know how and when the story ends. The story ends with Jesus Christ setting up eternity with his saints forever in heaven. He says he's coming again. And we can be of good cheer. Jesus Christ, just like John, has encouraging words for us this morning. Jesus Christ can be his faithfulness, he can be trusted. A lot of times we talk about trusting Jesus Christ, but why can we trust him? Because he can be trusted. He is faithful. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. He's upstanding, he's respectable. For Jesus Christ went to the cross. He humbled himself. He became obedient even unto death. None of us here are perfect this morning. None of us deserve eternal life. But it's by God's grace, by His mercy, that He give us eternal life because He loves us. He loves us with a love we'll never, ever understand. He loves us with a love that we'll never in a million years be able to thank Him for. Jesus loves us. Every one of us here this morning can improve our behavior, our character, our words. Every one of us can prove, and we can pray and ask forgiveness. And listen, by the power of the Holy Spirit, every one of us can change and be molded more like unto Jesus Christ. But it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it ourselves. We got to ask for help. It's got to be an inward change. We can promise not to say this, but if it doesn't come from here, it don't matter. Jesus says it's what comes, the words are what defile a man, because it comes from the heart. We've got to have a heart change. And our heart can only be changed by the Holy Spirit of God. And every one of us here can and should have see improvement that need to be made in our lives. But it's only through the Holy Spirit we're going to be able to improve. Rely on Him. Pray to Him. Ask Him. Beg Him to help us mirror our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to help us portray Jesus as who He is and who He wants us to portray Him as. And every one of us here can afford others grace. We can pray for each other. We can encourage one another. We don't have to be a negative Nancy. We don't have to be a critical Kathy, a cynical Sam, or a discouraging Doug. I put those together. Hey, it's a tough world out there. I think we can all agree it's a tough world out there. And there should be some kind of sanctuary, some kind of refuge here at Liberty Baptist Church. And we can encourage one another. We can support one another. We can pray for one another. If you would, please turn to Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 reads, "Let love be without dissimulation." That means it's a real love. Dissimulation means fake or pretentious. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in prayer, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, mind not high things, but condescend." In other words, to bring ourselves to that level of one and to condescend to men of low estate and be not wise in your own conceits. We need to edify one another. Sometimes it's tough love, but it's out of love. It's a real love. We should have the better interests of others at heart. We're going to have an invitation this morning. We've looked at five men. We looked at John the Encourager, Gaius the Faithful, Demetrius the Upstanding, and Diotrephes the Prideful. Diotrephes was prideful, and he had malice toward others and stirred the pot and not realized the consequences. Everything we say or do has consequences. It affects others. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 reads, "For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." What are some of the steps of Jesus Christ this morning? Just like we've seen in these men, faithfulness, truth, humility, love, kindness, and sacrifice. In light of the invitation, there's three questions I'd like us to ask ourselves. Number one, what kind of character do I have? Time out. What kind of character do I have as perceived by others? Number two, do I represent, honor, and depict Jesus Christ as I should? What about this one, the third one? If John was writing a letter to us, or to Gaius, about us, what would be written of us in a letter to other believers? Our character and the way we behave is observed and affects others. And it says to follow the steps of Jesus and to glorify and honor him as we should. Let's stand. 381, if you would please, this morning, page 381. Am I where I should be? Do I portray Jesus Christ the way I should? And what would be written about me to another believer?
Sunshine of love. Wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
This morning, you would come and ask Christ by the Holy Spirit to be changed in what God wants you to be changed what God expects us to be faithful, to be encouraging, to have love and kindness toward one another.
Thank you for being here this morning. We want to thank the Lord this morning for his word. Life ain't easy. Life isn't easy. The older I get, the more I realize how far I fall short. And I'm glad God's honest enough with me to point things out. And so let's pray for one another. Today, let's think on these words and really thank God for forgiving us and his patience toward us. If you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as your Savior, It's very simple. Once again, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us here are sinners. God came to save the sinner. He came to seek and save that which is lost. So if you know you're a sinner and you want to have eternal life, the Bible says in your heart, realize that Jesus is the only one that can forgive your sin. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible simply says to call on Him. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. And it's not the words. The words convey thoughts. It's out of the heart. Jesus is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And He'll save you. He'll deliver you from your sin. He'll forgive you of your sin anywhere, anytime. Isn't God good? How many can say, hey, God is good? How many can say, boy, oh boy, God's sure patient with me? We're all in this together, aren't we? We all have our shortfalls. God loves us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us and sending your Son to die for us. We thank you for your words of reproof, Lord, of chastisement, of hope, and of comfort. And dear God, I pray that you help us. I pray that we call on you today, not only for forgiveness of sin, but call on you to help us, Lord, to be more like Jesus, to be that person that you want us to be that person that actually we want to be. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. And we ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen.